Do you feel like you need God's encouragement and wisdom throughout the week to take hold of His promise to fly like an eagle? You come to the right place. Welcome to Eagles on the Hill. Let's join our host, Pastor Jeff Scheich.
Hey, people, I am your host, Pastor Jeff Scheich. Thanks for joining us on this edition of the podcast. Today, we're going to do something fun. I don't think I've ever done a podcast about The Office, the TV show, famous TV show, The Office, that ran from 2005 to about 2013, about 8 years or so. And a guy named Dwight on The Office. And some of you may be Office aficionados. You may know everything there is to know about The Office. I got some extended family members that would fall into that category. They love The Office. The Office is on all the time in their house. Others of you may never have watched The Office. It's a pretty fun show. We're going to talk about specifically Dwight today on the show. And the reason we're talking about Dwight is, I don't know if you know this or not, but Dwight is of the Baha'i faith. He doesn't make a secret of that. It's not part of The Office, the TV show, but nevertheless in his personal life. So he is a Baha'i, I don't know what you would call them, an adherent to the Baha'i faith. And Dwight has a podcast out, so he's a fellow podcaster. Probably makes a little more money doing it than I do, since I make nothing doing it. But anyway, and a book out called Soul Boom, and the podcast is called Soul Boom. I'm not encouraging you to listen to the podcast or buy the book, and you'll see why by the end of the podcast. You could watch The Office if you'd like. I think there's some pretty funny stuff on there, but also some inappropriate stuff probably. But anyway, but he has a book out. Of course, his name's not Dwight. His name's Rainn Wilson, but in real life. But everybody knows him as Dwight, so I'll call him Dwight. But it's called Soul Boom is the book, Why We Need a Spiritual Revolution. And then he has a podcast called and a website and all of that called Soul Boom. And it's got this unicorn, this kind of rainbow-looking unicorn thing out there. That's kind of his logo, which to me, as he's talking about religious faith, I wouldn't represent my religious faith with a unicorn. So it seems kind of unserious, if you will. But anyway, what I want to do is talk about the Baha'i faith. It kind of intrigued me, and I thought I'd never on the podcast talked about Baha'i and what is Baha'i. Most people don't know what that is, including me. I've never really studied it a lot. On the podcast, Dwight says, Soul Boom is an idea that explores the potential for spiritual revolution, a soul boom to investigate healing transformations, both individually and collectively. Well, now I don't even know quite what to make of that statement. On his Soul Boom website. I don't even know what that means. But I thought, well, let's check out Baha'i, because that's where his worldview comes from, is Baha'i. And so I went to Baha'iteachings.org. Seems like a good place to check out what Baha'i, the Baha'i faith is all about. And so I did that. And I have got a couple screenshots, if you're watching on YouTube, a couple screenshots of the website there. And so I'll just, if you're listening to this or are watching on YouTube, I'll just read you what it says in case you're watching on a phone and you can't read it, it's too small. But this is what it says. Baha'is believe that Baha'u'llah brought the latest global revelation of God's plan to the world. Wow. As a prisoner and an exile, he founded an entirely new faith. Nobody had ever figured this out until the 19th century. Wow. Which has spread across the entire world. While the Baha'i faith began in the middle of the 19th century, Baha'is understand that all faiths come from the same source. Okay, we're going to examine that a little bit. And that God's loving message to humanity is progressive, continual, and everlasting. Baha'is believe in the oneness of God, the oneness of religion, the oneness of humanity, and that Baha'is all around the globe actively work for the realization of those ideals of peace, harmony, and unity. All right, well, we're going to examine this in a different way. They have a list of kind of the basic bullet point beliefs of Baha'is, and we're going to get to see what that's all about. So first of all, they believe in the oneness of humanity. We are part of one giant, interrelated, slowly unifying system, which must be treated and respected as a whole. Well, Christians, let's evaluate this based on our Christian faith. Christians, of course, believe that that all humanity came from Adam and Eve, and then from Noah and his wife and three sons and their three wives on the ark. So we believe also that we are one in that regard, that we all come from one common ancestor. I don't think that's what Baha'is are talking about here, because I don't know that we believe that we're part of a slowly unifying system. All right. They also believe, second bullet point, the independent investigation of truth. Well, I think we should investigate truth as well. Then they say about that, blind acceptance of dogma or tradition does not foster personal or social growth. So each person must search for and determine what they believe. Well, I suppose you could say that's true. We don't want people to blindly accept the claims of Jesus. We want people to be investigating them. In fact, one of the reasons that they say that many middle school, high school students begin to fall away from faith and leave the faith as they go off to college is that their churches did not promote the investigation of our Christian beliefs. They didn't hold our Christian beliefs up under a microscope and take a look at them and be able to defend them well. They just, some churches just say, don't question things, just believe them. Well, I don't think that's good. I think it's good that we're able to investigate our Christian faith. And so, all right, the independent investigation of truth. All right. Bullet point three, the common foundation of all religions. All religions have sought to safeguard the nobility of man and advance social order, and every major faith worships the same God. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa. All right. Every faith does not worship the same God. So the Baha'i faith then is not taking other religions seriously. They're pulling various little pieces of teaching from various religions and saying they worship the same God, but that's not true. Let's take the world's two largest religions, Islam and Christianity. They do not worship the same God. Islam worships Allah. It's not another name for the Christian God. There is no such thing as a triune God in Islam. Christians believe in the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three persons, one God. We believe that Jesus is God. In fact, Jesus says, if you reject me, you're rejecting my Father. Islam rejects Jesus and therefore rejects God the Father and has a different God, Allah. So all religions have sought to safeguard the nobility of man. Really? Do you see that actually happening in Islam or in perversions of Christianity around the world throughout history? Do you see that all religions seek to advance the social order? I'm not sensing that Jews and Muslims would believe that as to what's going on in Israel and Gaza and all the rest. Every major faith worships the same God. Not true. Hindus have many, many gods, and they believe that you, when you die, you are then reincarnated via your karma to whatever station in life you deserve. That is absolutely 100% completely opposed to the beliefs of Islam and Christianity. Islam believes that you need to follow the five pillars of Islam, and then we find out later after you die, was Allah merciful or not? We don't even know. No person in Islam knows, not even Muhammad knew what would happen to him after he died, because he didn't know whether Allah would be merciful or judge him to not be worthy. Whereas we Christians know beyond a shadow of a doubt, because Jesus died for us, we know that when we die, our soul, our spirit goes to be with Jesus. Our body is buried, and on the last day, our body will be resurrected as a new and transformed eternal body, and we will live forever, body and soul together, with Jesus on the new heavens and new earth. So all religions are definitely not the same and do not worship the same God. All right, next bullet point, the essential harmony of science and religion. Unbalanced and dangerous by themselves, religion and science ultimately agree. Well, I don't know if religion is dangerous by itself. That is, specifically, the Christian religion is not dangerous by itself. Other religions may be dangerous. Look around the Middle East. Science may be dangerous by itself. But, and we do believe, Christians would believe, that science, rightly carried out, would wind up agreeing with our religious faith because, well, our Christian faith is based in ultimate truth. Next bullet point, the equality of men and women. The two human genders function like wings of one bird and must be equally developed for the bird to fly. Well, okay. I've never thought of male and female as two wings of one bird, but I get the analogy, and it sounds like that's okay. We'll keep going. Bullet point six, the elimination of prejudice of all kinds. Prejudice may be the greatest barrier to peace. Well, okay. Baha'u'llah writes, quote, the well-being of mankind, its peace and security are unattainable unless and until its unity is firmly established. Well, I don't know what to say about that. Prejudice is bad in some contexts. We prejudge things all the time. When I get served broccoli, I've already prejudged that I'm not going to like it. And sure enough, I don't really like it all that much, but it's not as bad as celery. Now that's something that's worth prejudging and saying no to. Of course, I know what they're talking about. Prejudice amongst human beings can be a dangerous and terrible thing. So we'll let that go. Next bullet point, universal peace upheld by a world government. Oh, this global democracy must include a world parliament, a world judiciary, and a world executive to protect the human rights of all people. Okay, my friends, how has the United Nations done? That's progressing toward a world government. And I would say it's, let's say, not done well. So God is the one who created the nations. Think of the Tower of Babel. So for the Baha'is to be pushing for and heading toward and wanting a global democracy with a world parliament, a world judiciary, I do not want a world judiciary, and a world executive, oh my goodness. One executive of one country is bad enough, let alone one who has power over the whole world. This is a crazy idea, folks. Let's not go there, shall we? Next bullet point, universal compulsory education. Oh, just what we need. Lack of an education not only wastes human potential, it creates an environment in which misinformation often guides and uncritical fanaticism directs actions. Okay, so Baha'i, it seemed to start out with the idea that everybody can kind of create their own religion, right? That's what it said. And all religions are the same, and we just kind of pick and choose, and everybody's their own god, basically. But now we're starting to get into, well, you can do your own thing as long as you have a world government. If you don't believe in a world government, well, shame on you. Nah, there has to be compulsory education. And of course, education in what? Who controls what's being taught? Well, now the rubber hits the road, shall we say. Now you see, we're not really free to do as we want, but now we have this world government, this world order imposing something. I'm not liking this Baha'i faith very much. Two more bullet points, then we'll close it out. A spiritual solution to economic problems. I would like a financial solution to economic problems, but anyway, especially the ones we're facing now. This must include the elimination of abject poverty and destitution. Now, exactly how do you do that? Along with the disappearance of gross accumulation of ownership. Who says what's gross? That's been the problem all along with the Marxist ideology. This is basically Marxism. Take from the rich, give to the poor. Who's the rich? Who's the poor? Well, the people in charge will decide that. The people who have experienced compulsory education and are now part of the world government. I'm really not liking where this is going. This is bad stuff. This is bad. This is evil stuff, and will result in incredible evil. A universal auxiliary language, so that we may all easily communicate, is the last bullet point. I'm not sure what auxiliary language means, but we need to have a universal language so we can all. It sounds like the Tower of Babel. It sounds like we want to reverse the Tower of Babel, have one person in charge, and see what mankind can accomplish if we force everyone to be educated the way we want, and we force everyone to have the right amount of money that we want them to have. Who knows what that is? Wow, this is sounding pretty dangerous. So that really comes to the conclusion of the bullet points of the Baha'i faith, and really leads us to why I wanted to tackle this. Because Dwight on The Office, I love his character. We certainly would not want him as a boss, which I think is the point of The Office, the point The Office makes. But he's a funny character. He's a kind of a lovable, crazy person in The Office. And people might be attracted to check out the Baha'i faith because of Dwight, and think, well, that's probably pretty cool because he's not cool, but Dwight's kind of a fun guy. So we'll check it out. It's pretty harmless, really, ultimately. What harm does he do? Except that when he's trying to give CPR to that dummy and winds up cutting out his heart. But anyway, that's on The Office in case you haven't seen that. But anyway, he's kind of a harmless character. So Baha'i faith, it's just harmless. It's just everybody's one. We're all unified together. It all sounds like there's no problems with it. And I wanted to do this to point out that when you really drill down into some of these religions, and we'll say Baha'i today, when you really drill down into it, it's scary. It's dangerous. And so I want to reflect on that, and also conversely, to reflect with great joy on our Christian faith as we head into Holy Week. The one religion, the one faith in the whole world where we don't have to climb up to God, where we don't have to, as Christians, and we share this message with joy to the world, we don't have to do a bunch of things to get God to love us, to jump through a bunch of hoops, to make the world a better place and all of this stuff. God has created the world, and God is the one who can make the world a better place. The only thing that can make the world better is Jesus. We, as Christians, are part of the God's greatest rescue mission in the history of humanity, bringing Jesus to the world. That God, what news is this? That God came to earth, not as a ruler, not as one in a palace, but came to earth to sacrifice himself for us so that we might receive a gift from him, the gift of eternal life, the gift of forgiveness, the gift of new life in Christ. That's the Christian faith, very different from the Baha'i faith or any other faith that's out there. So rejoice in that today. I pray that, and I hope that this podcast has been insightful to you as you maybe took a look for the first time ever at the Baha'i faith. And I hope it's been insightful to you as you compare it with great joy to the faith that's been given to you, your Christian faith. Write us at eaglesonthehill211@gmail.com. Let me know what you thought of the podcast. Did you learn anything today? What did you think? And also, if you would, keep in mind the promise of God, especially as we head into Holy Week, that those who hope in the Lord will fly, will soar on wings like eagles. Thanks for listening to the podcast today.